Mambo.
Are we going?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh! Welcome everybody once again to a Sopranos podcast, where we shoot the shit about the Sopranos.
Oh,
the
man.
One podcast where we shoot the shit about the Sopranos, and we're really shooting.
And we're really shooting.
As always, I'm Joe Spelman. This is
David Peternick.
Whoa.
Gee, this is my worst start to an episode.
Yeah. It was really fucking.
We switched up our seating order, ladies and gentlemen. So Spell's got a little confused. I'm Paul Golias.
I'm David Peternick.
And I'm Joe Spellman. As always, we're brought to you by Dave's Hot Chicken unofficially. we did switch up our seating arrangement. Bear with us.
I love that Dave's Hot Chicken is sponsoring us unofficially. They're just like slipping us money under the table. They're like,
yeah.
We desperately tried on my NBA podcast to get sponsored by Slab, which is a barbecue restaurant here in LA.
Yeah. I'm just stealing that from you.
We would like at them all the time, and they would just be like, ha ha ha.
Yeah. LOL.
No,
we have to do.
We actually want money.
We have to do more. Try to get Dave's Hot Chicken to sponsor it.
I know.
We've done nothing besides just say it.
Yeah. We just hope that they're listening. Yeah.
Hope that they hear the podcast. Right.
Well, we'll look into that in the future. If anybody has any Dave's Hot Chicken contacts, please
let us know.
You wanna intro the episode here?
Oh yeah, we're talking about season 2 episode 5, Big Girls Don't Cry.
That's right.
Yeah. We all know that's true.
They don't.
Big girls do not cry. Fact.
They eat.
Whoa.
Come on.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Whoa, Spells.
Well, I didn't write the song.
Or the episode.
But it is true, the bigger the girl, the less they cry. That is very actually scientifically proven.
It's mathematics.
Yes.
So good ep. This episode, mm-hmm. I'll run through the headlines here. We have Tonally. What the fuck?
Jesus
what the fuck?
Christ.
Is there a gas leak in this apartment?
Sorry, guys. Like, we talked on our WhatsApp thread earlier today, and we were not going to do this episode.
Yeah.
Just for no real reason, actually.
Do it?
Should we do it? Because why? Like, but not real any reason. Just like we're just kind of tired or something.
Yeah.
So, but we're not really tired.
It may show. But keep listening. It's going to be a great episode. Tony is dealing with some anger issues in this episode.
Mm.
But finally, he and Melfi reunite for the first time in a therapy session since season 1.
Yeah.
Furio comes to the States and tears shit up.
Booyah.
We'll get into that. We have Christopher.
Furio, that's one. Booyah, hottie.
Is that Carmelo over there? Christopher. Takes some acting classes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. And this was the very first episode written by Terrence Winter.
Oh wow, nice.
Who went on to become EP
and rock and roll artist, right? Oh, that's Edgar Winter. I'm sorry.
Oh man, yeah.
Topical,
famous great. Director.
Yeah,
he.
Well, that's Terrence Malick.
Terrence Winter did write the 50 Cent movie though.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Get Rich or Die Trying. Yeah. Not his best, but he did.
If I didn't know, and someone said, who do you think directed Get Rich or Die Trying? I'd say Terrence Winter. For sure.
I don't know. Did he direct it too? I know he wrote it.
Oh, maybe he just wrote it.
I don't know.
He wrote it, but the studio noted it to death.
God.
That's why
you should have seen the first draft.
The first draft was great. It was dope. It had Nas.
Oh shit!
It took place in the 1920s in Atlantic City.
He created Boardwalk Empire.
Terrence Winter wrote this episode.
Yes, he did. And he came on season 2. The rest is history, guys.
Mm.
But so let's dive into the episode. As I say, we have Tony and Melfi reuniting. We have Melfi calling Tony right outside of the whorehouse in which Furio is inside. Fucking terrorizing everyone.
Tony's cigar in shambles.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, it looked
so.
like one of those cartoon exploding cigars. Yeah, yeah. Like
Ash that thing. What are you doing? Like, that thing is
well,
all
look like he
falling
like,
apart.
He like pushed it down already. And
right.
then it's still
then
smoking
it. But it looked like it was like burning all fucked up. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, tend to it.
I feel like he must have done something to like put it out. And they're like, no, we need to keep going.
Right.
And they're like, we don't have any more cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he sends Furio into this whorehouse that Christopher previously was like incapable of getting the weekly or monthly whatever payment from these people, like the shakedown for protection. What do you guys think of Furio's debut in the States?
I mean, that first of all, they throw a party for him at Tony's house. The shirt he's wearing is incredible.
Great. Awesome.
Incredible.
He's like
that's
playing
what
with
I
babies
would...
and like doing magic tricks and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It looks like he's wearing one of Carmela's blouses.
Yeah. That's like if I was the costume designer for that episode, I'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, you're wearing that.
Shiny gold thing. Yeah.
Yeah, playing with like little children, just
let's,
like
let's sure. get the hey, hair down and
Christopher,
frizzy.
Christopher, how you doing, man?
Hey.
Just being all this great guy.
Yeah.
Cut to him, like, just like.
I heard about you. I heard what you were doing in Italy.
Yeah. Cut to him, like, throwing, like, hookers into walls and stuff. Just like,
but that's the thing. They really do make a point of making him look, like,
the dichotomy.
Gentle and, like, lovable and the PD Blue. I love the TV here.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a sitcom character.
Right.
And then that fucking. Yeah.
He goes from like Balky
right,
to
exactly.
like
Balky.
Cousin Tony.
Oh my God.
Don't be ridiculous.
He definitely's got Balky vibes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit, oh, Balky vibes.
Dude, this is a meme, dude. This is a meme.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
need to get some Bronson Pinchot.
Yo,
Balky.
John from Sopranos, Graham, don't steal that shit.
Yeah. You got to save that meme, Dave, when Bronson Pinchot becomes irrelevant. I mean, relevant.
Just
fucking...
wait for that morning where yeah. Bronson Pinchot dies. and then bam, dude. Followers.
R.I.P. Bronson Pinchot. And then, yeah. What's the picture of Furio? This
incredible, esoteric, just fucking, all right, whatever. Anyway, so they make him out to be this sweet sort of like guy. He's playing with kids and stuff. And then that one shot of him just fucking with a baseball bat, just going into that place. And just tearing shit up is one of the most exciting and terrifying things I think the series shows.
It's great. It's shot so well too. Like,
it's
like
shot
steady
so well.
Cam,
like I just had a big smile on my face watching that the entire time. And I'm realizing I'm watching a man fucking backhand women, like fire a gun into a guy's kneecap, and they just make it so fun.
Yeah.
It's a great example of like I don't know if like we've seen this level of violence, like
well that's the thing
like this much violence I don't know in one like,
it really does
scene.
it like you it, can't picture
this where he puts the gun to his fucking knee and fucking shoots it. That's pretty
blood
pretty rough.
Like shoots up
like what of the American mobsters can you picture at this point in the series doing the same thing Furio does It's what makes Furio.
I mean, we did see Richie drive
okay, Richie,
his
who
car
debuted
over
two
someone.
Episodes
but
ago.
That's,
right.
that's
but,
almost not.
But we
as,
don't even. But we don't see it.
We don't really see it.
And
yeah.
that's almost not as cold blooded as
right.
what fucking Furio.
Because you're using
does.
A car.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a fucking helpless old man. And like, you know, this, you're just beating women. You're just beating a bunch of people. Like, you punched a couple people on the way to, like, shooting this guy.
There's a guy just sitting there. I guess he's supposed to be the security. Just, like, hits him with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
He's not.
He's like in the front. He's not like like the front for the.
He's
whorehouse.
Also like
he could have been like trying to get some you know shampoo products or whatever. Like
also like
you go
like,
to the you go to the massage parlor to get some shampoo products spells.
I meant,
spells. If that's
oils.
Been your
I meant
your
lotions.
Story,
it's like it's like you can go to the barber and like you don't have to get your hair cut. You can just get like
some niacin,
like pomade. You know,
right.
But
yeah, it's like a middle-aged guy. Like he's not like some heavy. He's not like
but
some
that's like... I think that's what Tony saw in Furio when he was in Italy,
oh,
and
sure.
that's what makes Furio so scary. Is he is not discerning at all about who the fuck he uses violence against.
And also, he's...
men, women, old, young. Like,
and
he's
basically a ghost. I mean, he's just like a guy off, like, from
Italy.
He's
off the grid, yeah. Like, yeah. Not supposed to be there.
I'm, like, thinking about it, like, did they just do Commendatory to, like...
Intro Furio.
Yeah.
That's what some people were saying on like, Reddit and stuff. Like, it really is just sort of a... Because, you know, the deal with Annalisa doesn't really come up in the rest of the series. The only thing that episode sort of makes a mark on the series with is the origin story of Furio.
Right. Well, and like in this episode, when Tony meets Polly to tell him like he and Syl are getting a promotion, basically, and Furio's coming over, he asks him, because he's like, oh, you got to pick somebody up from Alitalia at Newark Airport.
Right.
And he assumes it's Annalisa.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tony really did that deal with Annalisa and didn't tell any of the guys that Furio was coming over. And that brings me to the next thing. So there's a new pecking order with Furio coming over.
Mm-hmm. Plus he's out.
Yeah, Tony brings Polly to the Lou Costello statue and tells him for whatever
that comes
reason,
back later.
And tells him he's getting bumped up. So is this where Polly officially gets made captain?
Yeah, well, it's weird because, like, Syl's consigliere, no? Like, but I guess not
so,
yet,
yeah.
Right? Or, like, no, but, like, I always thought he was from the get-go, but he said that, but Tony says they're equals, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
It's clearly where Polly gets made captain because it's a promotion for him.
Yeah.
But it also seems like it's a promotion for Syl, too.
I think
what
happens is when Junior is like put in jail and Tony actually becomes boss in name and everything else, there's an opening, like Tony's place as capo, there was an opening, but there wasn't really a crew, and so when Furio comes over to be part of that crew, Polly ends up taking the capo spot, and in that
crew is
Puss, and on the lower end, Chris. But then it's a little confusing.
But Gigi is a captain too, though.
Gigi, no.
Because
when
he
dies, like then Ralphie gets that. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Oh yeah,
because then like Ralphie, but like takes over that. It's like I guess Richie.
No,
at this point, Richie.
And then Gigi takes over for Richie.
And then Ralphie
takes over for him. That's the curse of the April crew.
But then Polly ends up taking over that crew. So like, what? Like what?
Well, at the very end of the series.
But, like,
but by the end of the series, there's nobody left.
I know, but I'm like, but that's...
Yeah. It's,
but
it's,
Tony makes that out. Like, that's an...
It's a little.
That's a promotion. Like, I don't quite get it.
But also, like, what? I mean, I'm sorry. Like, now that we're on this, like, when Polly gives like Chris like the sports book and stuff, like,
right?
What is
Polly,
that?
Polly is
but
a capo
a piece,
at that point.
But and
he's just giving him the business.
Yes,
because
that's
not,
a,
like
that's
promoting
Polly,
him like in the hierarchy.
Because that's right after Chris gets made, so
he
ends up
he's
taking
giving,
more responsibility.
That's Polly's shit,
right?
And he's giving him like the run of it.
But yeah, so. Pussy does get passed over. Pussy is below Polly. And case in point, there's a scene in Vesuvio where it's Pussy and Polly eating lunch. Johnny Sack shows up. Oh, and Furio's there. And then when Johnny Sack shows up, he's like, oh, so you want to talk to Polly? And Polly's like, Puss, you want to give us a few? But he doesn't make Furio leave.
Right.
So Pussy's got to leave. Furio, the new guy's there. I understand that Pussy feels slighted, but it's strange that he doesn't bring it up with Tony that Furio was able to be privy to this information that like New York and Polly were talking about, and he was not. Like,
also,
very strange.
What's Pussy's beef with Johnny Sack? He like clearly hates him.
I wasn't gonna stand up.
Damn, dude.
I feel like something like that. Maybe that was something that they were building that they
and they just decided not to do anything.
Yeah.
Build.
But so do you guys think, so Tony obviously passed over Puss. Why do you think he did that?
Well, he disappeared to fucking Puerto Rico for God knows how long.
Well, okay. Well, we know,
he's still in the doghouse.
Obviously, but do you think he...
He's still unsure of him, I think.
Yes.
Right. I feel like we've, earlier episodes in this season have, left us thinking that Tony was still unsure.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure. He has to be 100% sure. And and I don't think he is. So he's like, I don't know, making a move to sort of see what happens.
You're 100% sure? 100%. Fuck, 1,000,000%.
Okay. So I guess my question is does Tony consciously or subconsciously, the pussy questionably being a rat or not? Do you think Tony's thinking, oh, he might be a rat, so I'm going to pass him over? Or do you think he's it's not pussy's time?
I think he also just sees him as someone who's still in the doghouse because he's been so fucking wily. Right.
Yeah, and if this is Tony's crew and he has to give some people a promotion, he's obviously not going to do it to Puss because, you know, that might upset Cyril and Paulie.
Also, I feel like Carmela must have, I think there's a good chance she talked to Tony about, the shit going on in their house and stuff. And he might also just be the home life isn't right. He needs to get his shit together.
Right. That's a possibility. But so Tony is dealing with a lot of anger issues this episode.
Yep.
He
rips the phone out.
Rips the phone out of the
in
wall.
In front of AJ.
Throws it at AJ.
AJ almost drops his Pop-Tarts.
And then he makes some dumb Radio Shack joke.
That was
like
the worst
it.
Joke I've ever heard.
Product testing.
That one doesn't pass. What?
AJ doesn't. AJ kind of just stares at him, and Tony walks away. So that's that joke played out as it should.
you know, Tony driving after that, and he's like, "Oh fuck, man, that joke sucked.
Damn."
Fuck.
My son
fuck.
Thinks I
But
suck.
Mostly his anger is coming from Janice. And, I mean, it's coming from a lot of things, but mostly Janice in this episode. And when he knocks on his mother's house door and Richie Aprile fucking opens the door.
It's the boxers!
in boxers.
I do. I love that he's how about starting by putting your fucking pants on? Yeah. He hands him the pants and then he just puts them away. he puts them on the table.
What a great fuck you. I don't care. You're in my fucking house.
I'm in boxers. And
I'm cooking my eggs in my fucking boxers.
I mean, I think that's great. I think it's just great little touch. It's just
Yeah.
It's funny how similar that scene is to the scene in season 4 when Tony walks in and finds Ralphie's shoe and he's like, Ralph Cifaretto, Jen?
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything to...
I love that shot of him where he's laughing.
Yeah.
Oh. He's yelling.
What
were you going to say?
No, on that thought, is there something to Tony... finding his sister's lovers who also happen to be associates of him of his in the mob in his mother's house, you know, because it happens twice at least there, you know.
But even
boiling down even further, articles of clothing, I guess,
articles of clothing,
centered around that.
Right,
I don't know, that's interesting. I don't know what that means. I don't think it means anything really.
I think it's a little obvious to me. You think about how Livia was just this looming evil antagonist in the first season who's not around that much anymore. Mm-hmm. But look who's occupying her space now. It's Janice and Richie. And I think that's sort of the point that the writers were trying to make. These are the new villains.
Constantly people who are thorns in Tony's side.
Sure.
Absolutely. I'm just talking about the pieces of clothing. I don't think that really... That's just a touch.
Right.
I guess
Janice was trying to take out a loan against the house, and that obviously pissed off Tony. And then he has a fucking outburst on the Stugats with this guy wearing...
My sister goes.
This Russian guy who says something about oh, this is what you get if you date American. And Tony goes and grabs him by the balls. You got a problem besides those fucking pants? And then he's got to hoof it out of there because the police are getting called.
Call the cops, yeah.
And that could be bad because Carmella finds out he's on the boat with Irina and his kids and everything else.
Is that in the other thing?
Is that in the other thing? And
why,
so
why do you think that's in the episode? Just like showing his temper?
I think so. Basically, it's Tony's frustration with not having Amalfi in his life to talk to, and not just that, but because he's out of therapy, he's having these outbursts of anger that he cannot control,
which is
impeding his you know ability to cheat on his wife first of all,
sure,
but also you know with work and family and everything else, he's you know punching walls in front of his kid, and that's why he goes to Hesh, and Hesh he makes Hesh like the surrogate Melfi in this episode,
right?
And Hesh like. At first, he's a little interested. He plays along with it. He's telling him about the MRIs and like imaging in the brain. When an adult hears a parent's voice reprimanding them, fear lights up in the brain. And like,
I love just like the two of them just talking and nobody's listening to each other.
It's
like,
yeah, just back and forth. Yeah, Hesh is telling one story. Tony's telling the other.
Right.
And Hesh is like, you know, sleep is a good solution. And
take it easy, laddie buck.
Right, and that just said to me, Tony is actively looking for an outlet to basically a new Melfi, because he knows it helped him in the past, and he didn't think it's an option. But also, totally in Tony's style, when Melfi does call him and says, "Hey, I opened up a slot at 2 o'clock for you if you want to come in," he's like, "Hey, I'll think about it."
Yeah,
you
he
know?
Plays coy.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, and of course he's back there. Right. That's the other thing. We see a couple scenes with Melfi and Kupferberg this episode, mm-hmm. breaking down the dream from Toodle fucking Ooh.
The funny thing is like she's also going through it without like having him as a patient.
Yeah,
like,
so that's my question
she's dealing
to
with
you
her
guys.
Own,
like
trauma that like associated with him not being in
right.
therapy.
So ultimately, why do you think she takes Tony back?
Is it because she's
legitimately concerned that he's going to have a panic attack, crash, and die? Or is it more what Kupferberg called her out for, like this vicarious thrill of treating a patient like
that? I think
that?
It's both.
Yeah, I think,
you think it's both.
I mean, yeah. I think so, yeah.
But also, like, it's haunting her that she's not treating him.
Right,
so I think she's so like, I need to have him back in treatment so I can sleep.
Right. Yeah, so that's the like, physician doctor side of it.
Right,
and then there's also another
just
side,
like the
of
the human
her
side of it. Yeah,
that is just like intrigued. I mean,
she's
you know,
pounding
he
that.
Died.
She's pounding that wine though, like before she calls him.
They
like,
make a point to show that too.
Yeah.
And she also mentions she's like, I'm gaining weight, and
right.
like, are we to believe that that's because she's struggling so much with not having Tony of a patient as a patient? Is that it?
Yeah, I think it's eating at her. I mean, I think it's definitely a choice, like, you know, to make another facet of the character in that she's not just a clinical doctor.
Right.
She's, you know, she's intrigued by this from a tantalizing standpoint,
sure,
and right. also the Italian standpoint and all that
sure.
fucking shit,
right?
but yeah, I mean, she, you know, he divulges like how Furio beat the fucking shit out, shot a guy in a kneecap.
That's
it,
right.
It
yeah.
kind of doesn't faze her.
That's about as candid,
I think,
in regards to violence as Tony ever really gets with her, I think.
Yeah,
like
describing
I was waiting outside
actual crimes that he's committing.
Yeah, while one of my guys fucking shot a guy in the kneecap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think.
And he gets much pleasure out of telling her.
Yeah, and also, I believe that to make a lot of fucking sense. If he hasn't been in therapy for so long, and he like just splurts this out. I mean, it makes sense.
I don't know.
And then if he never talked about it again, I buy that so much.
He seems to be relishing. I mean, I think obviously deep down he's happy to be back in therapy.
Yeah.
Because he clearly has longed for it, whether he realizes it or not.
And he divulges
but,
that. Too.
Right. But I think he also is kind of relishing the fact that she came crawling
back
to
him. Yeah.
He's got that.
So
he's got that Cheshire Cat.
That's
another
element.
Smile,
he's
like,
a pick and shit.
You know what
he's,
You know what I was doing when you called me?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
well, and now they're both like, you know, they both need each other. Well,
right.
Yeah.
It's symbiotic sort of
push, pull, and tug, and
right. They're both sort of feeding off each other.
That's why I said symbiotic.
Symbiosis.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. But I also love the line it's almost the last line of the episode when he's like, I wish it was me in there. And she's like, giving the beating or taking it.
Yeah.
And that's so pointed. And she's the only person in Tony's life who could say something like that to him and him not fucking go off.
Right.
Because, what do you guys think? Do you think, subconsciously, he wished he was taking the beating in there or no?
I don't know.
It comes from a place of self-loathing, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Tony loathes himself. But, you know, that's the question.
I think it's...
But that's why we need Melfi in the series, right, guys?
I think it's meant to be
I can't believe these people who still to this day are like, Melfi scene, snore.
As we talk about this specific scene, I have a lot more appreciation for her character. Yeah. And the fact that they, you know, like kind of got rid of her and reintroduced her. It makes me more interested in like both those characters.
In her character and their relationship.
Yeah, their relationship, yeah.
It's very hard also, like her character is very hard because it's so subtle. There's not like a ton, like, you know, it's not as juicy as a lot of the other parts.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Mm. And she brings so much to it. It's so nuanced.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like she really has no connection to any of the other characters. She's only there in a way to serve as a sounding board for Tony.
Right.
But the writers don't want to just make her like, you know, paper thin. And I think they do a great job of especially the stuff with like Kupferberg and her dealing with losing him as a patient and struggling with taking him back on. Like, she's a real human being.
Her like in her own life, like dealing with her like son and her ex-husband.
That never bothered me.
No, me either.
But that bothered so many people.
You know what bothered me more?
I mean, later in the series, especially, not so much now, but you get into like season 4, season 5, people are like, fast forward through the fucking Melfi scene. Like, no.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Those are the same people that are like, oh, not enough whack-ins. Yeah.
If anybody bothered me the most, it's Carmella.
whoa, dude.
Come on now.
What?
Yeah, I mean, no, but I think that's what they were trying to do. She's like,
whoa, she's one booyah mommy.
All right.
Wait, what are we talking about now? Because I just had some stupid points about like a couple scenes that we were talking about.
Go ahead, take it where you want to take it.
Big girls don't cry.
Just like some
five.
dumb jokes and dumb scenes like the boat scene.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
go for it.
Is that on Staten Island? Because all the boats are from Staten Island.
I don't know.
Joe is from Staten Island.
Yes,
in case
I was born on Staten
don't
Island.
Remember.
Joe's the only one pausing each frame and looking at the titles of the boats.
There were two boats that had like that were listed from Staten Island. One, Great Kill Staten Island, which is where my family's from.
Oh shit!
And another one just said Staten Island.
Yeah.
So I was like, is this like a marina that is like way far from New Jersey that like so no one would spot him, which could be very possible.
True.
Cause like, you know, if you live in New Jersey, you don't really want to go to Staten Island. You don't want to have to make that trip.
Right.
And vice versa. So I'm curious about
I would be surprised if they shot at a marina and brought in boats from Staten Island and you know.
Art department could just change that, like, no problem.
True, but, like, why? I mean, to me, like, I would imagine that they were just using boats that were at the marina.
In Staten Island.
And that Russian guy was an actual Russian guy who just happened to be at the marina that day.
Yeah. They're like, whoa, this guy, look at what he's wearing. This is perfect.
Yeah. And if anybody's ever curious, I know, like, last episode we talked about we're all going to go see...
Many Saints.
I will be wearing that outfit. So if any of you are there in LA at the ArcLight, where we probably will go see it or wherever,
you'll be cosplaying as a Ukrainian fucking guy.
We're on the marina.
No, but you gotta have like a plastic hand grabbing your testicles. So people get it.
Oh my God.
Just walking up to people. Oh, my testicles.
In Russian.
Oh my God. Let's see if anybody fucking figures it out.
That's the terrible cosplay.
That would be amazing.
It would be. But one storyline we haven't talked about yet is Chris at the acting for screenwriters class. What'd you guys think?
I mean, I think Spells would echo this. Like
the two actors here.
Yeah, it's very. It brings me back to like old acting classes and stuff. Like acting one, like basic acting classes, where you're like A, B.
Oh well, yeah.
You get like you know some like, it, like famous scene from a famous play or something.
It certainly feels like an acting class that would be taking place,
or like improv 101.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
but
my wife got this for me for my birthday, or you know.
But for me and for you, like that was full of like probably mostly like people in their early 20s and like younger kids.
Dude, my used to be 101 class.
No, mine
was
too.
A lot of that. Like, I'm the funny guy in the office, and everyone said I gotta take this class.
Yeah, mine had a couple of those people, but like.
But theater wise, like it's a very funny portrayal and pretty accurate an intro acting class.
I think it is an accurate portrayal of that. Yeah. I think it's like an accurate portrayal of like you know something you'd find in like the like Parks and Rec flyer of your local town.
Right.
Oh, it's like acting classes, and everybody comes to like the community center, and like someone who you know got a BFA at like. You know,
yeah, and there's like the guy like
college.
That, like the guy Mitch, like who thinks like
Mitch McDermott,
yeah, who right, thinks he's like right. already very good, like
yeah. I wrote a couple specs, yeah. None of them sold. I was like, oh no, that's what I was like, oh God,
honey, you're gonna get punched in the face real bad soon.
So what do you? Yeah, so
that guy
Chris is either like an idiot savant at acting, what do you guys think is going on?
Well, in the Rebel Without a Cause scene, he clearly like is connecting to Brendan Fallone dying.
That's the question
to me.
Yeah,
like his friend died. Like it's obviously coming from his real pain that he's experienced in his life, and the father character too. Adriana points out.
Right, you think it's both things. He's remembering Brendan.
I think in the scene, like I think he knows that he's connecting to Brendan's death.
Yeah.
Okay.
He maybe doesn't like totally know like consciously the father connection until Adriana like points it out to him. But I think for sure to me
he's thinking of Brendan
when he's like zipping up the guy's jacket.
Yeah. I mean that's it's funny because like the Sopranos, people watching this casually hadn't thought about Brendan Fallone since episode 3 of season 1, probably, right?
Right.
And especially if you're watching this live, it's been like over a year since you thought about that.
Yes.
But like that's why rewatches pay off so much, because
mm-hmm,
you're just
for sure.
way more familiar with these storylines.
True.
You could draw conclusions about like what characters are thinking and feeling deeply. We become the Melfis, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and this is like something that like would be talked about in the writer's room.
For sure. But then why do you think he punched Mitch McDermott in the face?
That's like a father thing. That's like,
you think he's angry at his dad?
I think what Adriana says is like completely on point, like which is hilarious because you know,
yeah,
it's Adriana.
Yeah,
but like I think she's absolutely right. Why else would he just punch the guy?
Well, I don't know if it has so much to do with his father specifically, or he just was made to feel weak or inferior or like a bitch to this
by
man,
that guy
by
yeah.
this
yeah.
man.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's uncomfortable with the emotions that he felt.
That was my take on it. I don't think he has a lot of anger about his dad not being around because
the guy's also a prick. He's like he's bragging about all the things that he's written.
Right.
And Chris goes in front of the class and he's like, I got that book, How to Write a Screenplay in 21 Days. That was a year ago.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with what you were saying about it, Paul, that like, he's, it's because he got that emotion out of him, and he's uncomfortable with it, so he punches right. him because that's what he knows.
Also, right. after he leaves, when like all those people are swarmed around Mitch, they're like looking at Chris like as he leaves. There's a guy that's like smiling like real big, right. and maybe that's just like a mistake, but maybe it's also like, oh, people were kind of happy that he got punched in the face.
Well, that like guy that is like, what did you say about
such a herb?
Biggest
yeah.
herbs. Of
oh, we're show? Yeah, we're gonna do one of these episodes. We're gonna do like a bracket of the biggest, like whitest
the count
herbs.
Yeah.
In the series, just all the characters who are not in the mob. And are huge dorks.
Oh, man. Yeah, this guy's definitely up there.
Oh, he's up there.
But yeah, and so the episode ends with Chrissy throwing out his laptop and his floppy disks and everything. And You Bark, I Bite, his screenplay, his original screenplay, which I would pay vast quantities of money to read.
You stole that title from one of your original screenplays, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm writing that, as actually.
When you were 16.
But as we know, he can't stay away from the movies too long because he's got that bug. He makes
right.
Cleaver ultimately.
That's right.
But yeah, that's the ep. Big Girls Don't Cry. Anything else you guys wanted to touch on? Mm. Why the title Big Girls Don't Cry?
Yeah, that's good.
That's
why?
That's a good one.
Why?
Frankie Valli song, right? Four
yes,
seasons.
Frankie Valli song.
Who ultimately becomes
Mayor,
part of the series.
Mayor Munchkinland.
Mayor Munchkinland. I guess it has something to do with Melfi, I want to say.
But
you
also
see her crying in therapy.
But also after he rips the phone out, Carmela goes, "Grow the fuck up."
True. Melfi compares Tony to a little boy in mm-hmm. therapy. And we of course see Christopher break down crying in this episode. So I don't know. There's
like,
something there. We're not quite
like
articulating
fucking,
it.
It's just a catchy
yeah.
name for
they play,
the
they play
the
song
episode,
also.
They play,
like,
they play
the
song,
episode.
But like...
Terrence Winter, if you care to illuminate us.
We'll leave that to the Steppenwolves of the world. And
let's ask Terrence Winter.
Yeah.
We'll call
tweet
him.
At him. No, let's yeah. ask Edgar Winter.
He just responds... That's how Edgar Winter talks, right?
Yeah. Good up, though.
Good up.
Everybody, welcome back.
Yeah, did you take a break? Or
they might have got up from their desk.
Might have gotten
or,
up from
you know,
desk,
like
yeah.
when he got gas,
or turned it off.
Probably.
You know what's coming up next is an episode,
Jesus Christ.
A segment, a little bit of Sopranos erotic fan fiction. Brought to you by Johnny the Nutsack Pino.
Oh, okay.
This
oh,
is
boy.
Another installment.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
Dude, you were talking so sexy, I think nobody knows what you just said.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
whoa,
gets
oh,
what's going
on. Oh, don't talk to me
right
like
now.
That. I'm Johnny the Nutsack Pino.
Oh, shit. In
oh,
the
shit.
House. In the flesh.
Respect.
Yeah, great setup you got here. Bunch
whoa, what did you
mics,
come in here?
Jews.
oh.
Okay.
Johnny.
So, hey. We're going to get to this upreach stage.
Uh-huh.
And, Dave, why don't you read Roe? Professor Pauly, why don't you read Father Phil? Of course.
Okay.
Obviously.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Sure.
And, we'll take it from there. So you ready?
I just want to point out that the title page just says Joseph Spellman.
I don't know.
And nothing else.
That's a mistake.
So Johnny the Nutsack Pino, I'm a little...
Well, I had to borrow his computer.
Oh, okay.
I don't have
gotcha,
a fucking
gotcha.
Computer.
It makes sense.
In
makes
order sense. To borrow his computer, you had to name the script just his name.
Joseph Spellman. Also,
I don't know. That's something with title page. I don't know.
Also, Celtic. Johnny the Celtics Nut Sacpino. It seems like you had a little error in your spelling of your name. It says Johnny the Nut Scacpino.
You know what?
Yeah, it was a late night.
If
you
I
were
want
drinking.
Webster's Dictionary, I'll order Webster's Dave's Hot Chicken. Okay?
All right.
All right. Let's get into it.
All right, here we go. This is entitled Father Phil Fucks Rose Fat Tan Ass by Johnny the Nut Scacpino. Ro okay. is sitting by herself in the dark drinking a fucking glass of wine. She's smoking a cigarette fucking languidly. Mm-hmm. It's shit. Fucking sad and disgusting, frankly. Ro.
Oh my god. My Giacomo. Both my Jackie's gone.
Father Phil enters, fresh off tapping Charmaine's fat ass. Phil.
Hello, Ro. May I come in? I'm hungry for some of your menagut vagine.
Oh, Father Phil, I can't. I'm too upset from losing my boy Jackie. And it reminds me of the fact I lost my husband, Jackie Jr.'s dad, also named Jackie.
Thus the Jackie Jr. Ro, I know their names. I have met them before.
Oh, Lord, why? Why? Why must you have taken my boys?
Ro, I'm right here, okay? Talk to me if you want to talk to Lord. Talk to Lord. Talk to
yeah,
like the
come on, make
artist?
It sexy. Make it sexy.
sorry.
Father Phil, make it sexy. Can you pray with my father? What the fuck? Can you pray with my father?
He's old. Father?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Pray
yeah,
with
yeah.
me, Father.
Oh, fine. But then, can I get that tan ass capitalized?
Yes, Father. Actually, giving up this menagut vagine to you might actually make me feel better.
Hell yeah. Making me hard.
Father Phil starts to take out his cock. I don't know why this guy's such a confident cuck. His dick is not that big. Ro.
I guess you can call that a dick.
Hey!
Johnny the Nutsack Pino enters.
Oh, shit!
Nice one, Ro. That dick sure ain't as big as Johnny the Nuts.
No one as big as you, Johnny.
Hey, who is that?
It's Johnny the Nutsack Pino, baby. The biggest cock in North Jersey.
Why are you here?
He's gone now. Focus on me, Phil. And making me forget my son and husband are dead.
You're right. I've come for that tan ass. Least I forget. Spread them cheeks.
Phil enters Ro.
Our father, who art in heaven, baby.
Oh, Jackie.
Oh, Jackie this. Johnny the Nut re-enters and starts jerking off in front of Phil and Ro banging. It's fucking disgusting, but in a good way. They're going to have a lot to clean up after this.
Scene.
Just say scene.
Just
kinda
say,
wanted to,
that's the end of that.
Kind of wanted to pull a Chris and punch you in the face in the middle of
hey,
that,
well, you know, hey. I had to come in there and I had to fucking make it a little more fucking, you know, dick worthy.
Getting real meta with the writer entering the scene
yes.
to jerk off at the end. Okay.
No, I show my big dick too.
Oh, gotcha.
Well,
gotcha.
I guess you can call that a scene.
All right.
Ooh,
well,
wow.
Thanks, Johnny the Nut.
Okay.
Scacpino.
Yeah.
For another great installment.
He just peaced out. He just fucking.
Oh,
he just left now.
Yeah, he was out.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Spells
he
is back.
Might have been unhappy with our reading of it.
I think he kind of was.
Yeah.
I think you kind of fucked up some words.
He
and,
seemed upset.
You know, like.
He
some things
like
were misspelled, but some things weren't.
He felt like we disgraced his art.
It seems like it. He just kind of
just
walked out of the door.
A simple once over or a spell check will help Scacpino.
I really don't think that's his vibe though.
Can
I don't
you
think
pray
that's
with
does.
My father?
It looked
favorite.
Like he got a spells check, not a spell yeah. check.
He told me that was intentional.
Gotcha.
For whatever reason,
we're missing the deeper meaning behind
yes,
all this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was
okay,
another
well,
great
was that.
Installment. That was actually a fan request, right?
Yeah. Father yeah so fans have been clamoring for it. So
okay.
Yeah, so they please. Were clamoring for the first one, and then they clamored more.
Yeah.
Any other clamoring for
you know
Johnny
we'll
the Sack Pack set Johnny the Sack Johnny the Nutsack Pino fanfic erotic fanfic. We will do our best for
if
you.
If you're still clamoring after that, God help you.
I mean, rule of thirds, he's got to come back.
He's
got
to come back.
I mean, for sure.
Hopefully, I'm not playing Father Phil again, but, you know.
You do a great job.
No, also,
he told me
you
do
sense.
A great job at it.
It's crazy that the nut only communicates through you, Smells.
Yeah, well, you trust me.
All right, let's go into fucking internet.
Fucking internet.
This, of course, is the segment where we scour the internet for anything the internet is talking about The Sopranos. This week is all Reddit because nobody's fucking talking about Big Girls Don't Cry on Twitter anymore.
Damn. Damn, you ain't talking about this 20 years ago episode
every,
on Twitter?
Every tweet about it is like from 2009, and it's like those auto tweets where it's like, finish downloading on Pirate Bay.
Oh my God, what?
Sopranos, season 2, episode 5. Like, it's
right.
ridiculous. Anyway, like, why would you tweet that? But anyway, from user Chubbos.
Oh shit.
In Big Girls Don't Cry. Why did Paulie and Johnny Sack ask Big Pussy to leave the table when talking at the restaurant? Did they already suspect him of being a rat? Why didn't Pussy make a bigger deal out of this? I think that's we kind of touched on this during the episode discussion.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I do think there's something to be talked about. Why didn't Pussy like raise it with Tony? Like, hey, the new guy from Italy was able to sit at the table and I wasn't.
He's
I mean, he know. I mean, I think you know he knows.
So does Pussy deep down know that Tony knows that?
He also doesn't want to like you know rattle any cages. So they
right.
would
make
start,
waves.
Start
sure.
you
sure.
know digging.
Right.
Although, does that hurt him? Like you know.
Right, because you got to think
that
like,
make Tony suspicious.
Right, he's got to be thinking, how would I act if I was not actually a rat?
I mean,
I think he would be a little like angry that he's been passed over, and at least raise it with Tony.
Right,
right.
Maybe he does in the next couple. Does he?
Well,
I don't remember.
Some...
No, he doesn't. He raises it with Skip Lipari.
Yeah,
that is a funny scene that the two of them like you know fucking commiserating like about
in some diner that like hasn't been redone in like 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That looked like a diner that I've
that
seen
great.
In K-Town out here or something. Like it looked weird.
Yeah, good question, Chubbos. I think we got that.
Yeah.
User Awakening SC. What was Furio squeezing when he was smoking in Artie's kitchen? About 35 minutes into Big Girls Don't Cry, Furio was squeezing something in a bowl while smoking a cigarette. Charmaine what? Told him to wash his ashes. I've always wondered, what is he squeezing?
Cheese.
Fucking buffalo mozzarella, you fucking...
Making
they
cheese.
They say it in the episode, you idiot.
Awakening. Come on, man.
Yeah,
this is,
be more
like,
awoke.
They say it,
Jesus
but also,
Christ.
Have you ever, like, seen mozzarella cheese? Like, come on.
It's got to stay moist, you moron. Fucking idiot.
What's he squeezing?
What's
Who
he
cares?
It's cheese. Fucking
yeah.
buffalo
it's
mozzarella.
Fucking
cheese.
Yeah, that's
Master
what they talk
cheese
about.
Maker,
he's
dude.
Is he really, though?
No, he's not really. I mean, he looked like he knew what he was doing, I guess.
Maybe
I,
he can do it, but he also like.
I mean, he's from Italy. He probably knows enough
yeah.
to like make.
Yeah, all Italians
passable.
Can make cheese casually.
Yeah.
Hey,
I know how to make chopped liver, so
right.
hey, there you go.
Okay.
No.
Oy. Spells is just exhausted by that.
No. If you haven't turned off after the fanfic, you definitely did after I talked about making chopped liver.
All right, here we go. I mean, user Ethereal Ghost Cat.
Okay.
Favorite cuts. I was just watching the season 2 ep Big Girls Don't Cry, and during a scene between Dr. Melfi and her therapist, she says, he can be such a little boy sometimes, which then does a quick cut to Tony outside the massage parlor instructing Furio to go inside and beat the shit out of them, and it gave me a good chuckle. What are some of the best / funniest cuts you guys have noticed?
Great.
I mean, I'll start us off from last episode.
Of course.
you know, after the carjacking of the family of Herbs, and the father uses the N-word and says, "Well, who else?" And a big a cut to a big close up on Tony's smiling face.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good one.
You guys got some or what?
Yeah. Mine isn't funny, but I took a while to think about this. What came to mind was in Members Only, we see Eugene's face and then it cuts to a wider shot of him and he's hanging himself. And I always think
that's funny at all.
Not funny, but really great cut.
Yeah.
Very effective.
True. Yeah.
Because I remember seeing that and like that, like for the first time, it like startled the shit.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Right. Because they make you think he's like looking at the pictures from Florida. He's looking at the pictures vacation. Before.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
Yeah. And then he's hanging and pissing himself.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Spells.
All right. Mine's hilarious.
Okay.
Good.
This is like a cut or end on like a scene. Yeah. Is when the fucking goat looks into the camera. is that when Pyomai is killed?
Yeah.
That's like the, like you were asking us earlier, like come with like a thing with your favorite cuts. And I like couldn't think of anything. And I was like, oh, that's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
Like it's just so, why do they do that?
I
think it's in there just to fuck with you.
Well,
maybe
there's the weird wipe.
Well, there's that weird wipe, yeah.
When Carmella walks away from the guidance counselor.
That is weird.
Cringy.
It will always bother me. Like, to this day, I'm so bothered when I see it.
I guess I just think that was not good. I can see, like, why they did it, and I think it was just a bad choice.
Yeah.
But what's the choice for just, like, the goat just...
Right.
And, like, it's so dumb and
I know the significance of the goat. The goat itself. I don't know about like the goat looking at the camera.
Well, what is the significance of the goat?
Well, per Alan Sepinwall and Matt Zoller something or other.
Oh boy, here comes the professor book, hat.
Interview with David Chase. They were trying to explicitly draw the connection in the, that was the episode Whoever Did This when Ralphie's son gets shot in the chest with an arrow and obviously Ralphie gets killed. They were trying to explicitly draw the a parallel between Ralphie and the devil, and they do that in Were You There in the Moment When Jesus Christ Had His Moment of Doubt and Pain, like lyrics from Rolling Stones. The fuck is that song? Pleased to meet you, hope you guess my name.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Sympathy for the Devil. Thank you. Yeah, which that episode clearly did gave you sympathy for Ralphie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then like it literary and in like medieval art and stuff, a goat is always symbolic of Satan.
Yeah.
And so having Satan like just looming outside the stables there after Pyomai died in that fire was Chase's way of saying, yeah, Ralphie did this.
That's cool.
Ralphie was there. Ralphie had a hand in it.
I thought it was David Chase's way of saying, like, Ralphie's the goat. Greatest of all time.
Goat.
That's great. Now I know, like, you know, that makes sense kind of like that they have that shot.
But we'll talk about that when we get to whoever
we'll talk
did
about
this
it
in 2 years.
Months.
Yeah. But one more. We'll end on a funny cut. I love in Cold Stones when Ro and Carmella are in Paris and just taking the awe and the beauty of that city, and then hard cut to outside the Bing, and Silvio's like instructing some guy to like hose down the Bing sign. And he's like, make sure you get the shit off her tit. I love that cut.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have from user Gringo Damas.
Ooh.
Possibly same universe as The Wire. In the season 2 episode, Big Girls Don't Cry, when Big Pussy and Polly are eating, he mentions getting tickets to a game from The Greek. The Greek is a mobster in season 2 of The Wire. Thoughts?
You know how many, like, sports, like, gambling, like, fucking, like, CD people are referred to as the Greek?
There may be one or two other Greek people.
Yeah, that was, like, a big, like, the gambling guy.
Yeah, what was the other CBS. That guy? There's that 30 for 30 on him. Yeah.
I do like the idea of The Wire and The Sopranos sharing a universe, but I don't think this proves anything.
I mean,
anything.
There are cast members.
Yeah.
Sure.
Omar. Michael K. Williams,
fucking houses Jackie Jr. for a little bit.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Yeah, I got tickets from a guy in Baltimore for Jersey Devil games.
Yeah, the Greeks got the hookup though, dude.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you going down to the docks? You gonna go get the tickets from the Greek?
I'm pretty sure the Greek is like
everybody
like
knows
the GM
Greek,
of the Devil that Paulie shakes down in order to get tickets out of him.
All right, and finally we have from user the Heartbreak Squid 77.
Oh, this is for spells.
This is
he loves
post,
the Heartbreak Kid.
This post is entitled Barb's Husband Tom. Who walks into a family dinner 10 minutes late and immediately announces to the table, "I hear the Jets are going to grab that kid from Tulsa, the tight end." Weird shit. Also, during Livia's wake, when Hugh called bullshit on all the flowery words being said, Tom chimes in out of nowhere with a "hear, hear." Like, dude, you married into this family. Maybe keep it to yourself. That being said, I like the cut of this guy's jib.
That's got to be the actor who played Tom. Trying to generate buzz around him.
Is this buzz 20 years later.
Is this another commentator like we had last episode who was just like, "Hey, what the fuck is their problem? What the fuck? I hate them,
dude.
But they're not that bad." It's like another guy who's
it
like,
wasn't
"No
the Heartbreak Squid,
to Tony.
Unless whoever's behind the Heartbreak Squid has like several burner accounts just trying to make like dumb posts on Sopranos Reddit."
I'm shooting that ink, dude.
I don't know. There wasn't a question there, but I thought it was funny. So, what do you guys think about Tom? Tony's brother-in-law, Tom.
I think my guy is just trying to relate, dude.
Yeah, he's definitely just trying to relate.
Yeah.
I don't.
He's uncomfortable.
I never think
about
Tom.
Yeah.
I think that's all there is to be said. But
I do like the cut of this guy's jib.
but I like his jib.
He does look
how
like
he ends it,
our friend Steve Lacchioma.
A little bit, yes.
A little
he
bit.
He does, yeah, yeah.
Never mind.
What?
Also, like, it does sound like, you know, someone who's trying to, like, get in with the family who's clearly, like, you're nervous about.
Right. I'm
like,
going to,
I feel that. I feel him.
Anytime I walk into my girlfriend's, like, family functions, I'm going to be like, "I heard the Jets are getting this guy from Tulsa, the tight end."
Well, Barb isn't, like, connected to anything. So it's like, he knows he's walking into, like, fucking dinner with Uncle June and fucking Tony
and
Janice.
And some shit's gonna go down. Yeah,
and he's like, "Oh fuck! Like my in-laws are the mafia."
Start talking football trades.
Better talk about the Jets for Tone.
We gotta have our friend who we think looks like him or is like him on an episode where he's featured.
That'll be good radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll just have our friend who...
So you kind of look like this tangential character. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
He'll have some opinions.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right. That wraps up fucking internet.
Good shit. As always, guys, you can always hit us up at osopranospod@gmail.com with questions, concerns, more people that you would like Johnny Sacpino to do erotic fan fiction of.
He will. He'll do anyone.
He will do anyone. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter.
Except for children. Don't do children. All right.
Okay. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at osopranospod. And as always, thank you for listening. Dave's Hot Chicken, give us the chicky.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh.